I have felt at times very overwhelmed with this assignment. But when Carolyn called me and asked, I felt like God was saying, you need to do this. And the reason being is because this is an area that I was personally struggling in a year ago. And just working through this, pulling my information together, I feel like God has helped me to formulate what I have worked through. And I'm hoping that by doing that, I can keep my focus on where God wants it to be. So, I hope it benefits you. Thank you all for coming. It's my desire that this time together will encourage all of us to go out and minister to the others around us. Does everyone have a handout? Okay. Basically, I did the handout to make it easier for you to follow me. You don't have? Do you want to come get it so I don't have to leave the table? If anybody else needs one, just, yeah. So as I was working on this workshop, I was getting to the point that I felt like I had all the information together. But I was like, but there's something missing. What is it? And my husband's like, well, maybe a handout. And I'm like, honey, a handout? I don't do a handout. You know, I mean, I'm just like, well, one morning I just took some extra time in prayer and talked it over with the Lord. And he gave me this idea for my handout. And it just felt confirming that he does care. He cares about every one of us and the struggles we have. And so I had to, like, take all this information and reorganize it and make it fit the handout. But I felt a lot better about it when that was done. But then when, just at the end of last week, I was asked to print out some Sweetheart Banquet invitations. And so I'm using the same laptop as I was using for this workshop. And I had made a copy of my workshop before I rearranged it, okay? And so that was on there. I had that copy. I'm working on Sweetheart Banquet invitations, and I knocked a laptop on the floor. And it went black. I just started crying. I'm like, oh, no. I just spent all those hours. I just lost all my organization. I'm going to have to do this. I thought I was well ahead of schedule, and now I'm going to have to take the time to do this all over again. And you know how it is. I just started crying. And my husband very kindly came over, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right, you know. And praise the Lord, he was able to get it. He just pushed the button and sat there for a while, and it came back on. And the first thing I did was went on and printed out my workshop, the final. So I'm like, I'm not going to lose this workshop. So anyway, just some of the things that I have struggled with and worked through as I worked on this. So I've chosen to use the letters for the word minister. The first three letters kind of are an introduction leading into the practical ideas. Yeah, help yourself. And so to start with, if you look at the word minister, I looked it up in the dictionary. According to the dictionary, to minister is to perform the functions of a minister of religion. And I said to my daughters, oh, come on. There's another definition. And I couldn't find it. All I could find was this, perform the functions of a minister of religion. And I'm like, that's not what this is about. That's for our husbands. That's not what this is about. And my 14-year-old daughter looked at the dictionary. She goes, well, Mom, right there it says to aid or to service. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I'm not sure how I missed that. But anyway, that's what I want my focus to be. As we think of ministering, we are aiding, giving service to meet the needs of others. And so for M, I'm thinking of meeting needs. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them which are of the household of faith. And so, since the focus of this weekend is enhancing congregational life, I have pretty much kept my focus in, you know, we as women within the congregation. I know God has other places of ministry for us, and I'm not saying that's not important. I think that's very important too. But I just felt like, okay, this is the focus of our weekend. We are going to look at how we as women can minister to each other within our home congregation. So that's how I got where I came out with it. And if at the end we have extra time and somebody has other ministry ideas or whatever that they'd like to share, I'm fine with that. But I'm going to limit it to, you know, the scope of within our congregations for now. And then when I get to the practical ideas, I'm going to share with you some of the things that ways that I personally have been ministered to throughout my life, ways that I have seen others ministering to each other, and then I would like, if at any point, if I share something that you know, kind of jogs your thoughts and you think of something that you'd like to share, I'd love to hear it. Because I don't know if I'm going to have enough to... I've never done this before. I don't know how long this is going to take. So anyway, I'd love to hear from you too. Because I think the more people we hear from, the broader our ideals are going to be. So anyway, I would welcome that. Okay, so then, as I already mentioned, last year at MEW, I was struggling with this aspect in my own life. So just to give you a little bit of a background so you understand a little bit where I come from, we're from a very small congregation, and okay, so 25 people, okay? And so when my husband stepped into the leadership role in the ministry, our pastor's wife handed me a folder. And in that folder were the things that were considered to be my responsibilities. Such things as organizing Christmas caroling for the community, organizing the sweetheart banquet when it came time for the sweetheart banquet. Just, you know, some of those kinds of things that she had done over the years, and she was now handing over to me. So I had done this for a number of years, and I think it was in 2016. I didn't even go back and check for sure, but in 2016, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, and so I was struggling with my own health. I didn't have a lot of energy, and one of the sisters in the congregation said to me, she's from a larger congregation, and she was used to committees. We didn't have committees at our church. Everybody just did what they could, and, you know. So she said to me one day, it was actually my daughter-in-law, she said, you know, Mom, what would you think of us forming some committees to, like, help you with some of this stuff? And I'm like, oh, well, it's not that much, you know. I mean, I didn't say that. I was like, oh, sure, yeah. Well, what I didn't realize was that part of my identity in ministry was these things in this folder. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, sure, you know, I mean, I should be willing to let others use their gifts and help with this. So we formed two committees. We formed a food committee for, like, any fellowship meals or whatever, you know, we were doing. And then they also formed what we called an outreach committee. And so that took the things of the organizational things that I was doing. And I thought I was okay with it. But when it came right down to it, when an event would come along that was used to be, you know, my responsibility, I would see somebody else doing it, and I would feel frustrated because, okay, so sometimes they didn't know what they were doing, and so, like, it wasn't happening because they weren't sure what they were doing, and I would feel really frustrated, and I would feel like, you know, come on, just let's just get this together. But, you know, I had to realize that that I needed to develop a servant attitude. And instead of being that person in the leadership role, I needed to be willing to step back, let someone else take the initiative, and develop a servant attitude. And I feel like I'm making progress in that. You know, I still find myself, for the first little bit, you know, wanting just to get in there and make it happen. And I think, no, step back, see if there's something that needs help, just, you know, back off. So that has been one thing that I needed to just kind of reshape my thinking on that. And then there was also a series of events within my own personal life and with some interpersonal relationships that had happened. And I was just feeling like a failure. I was feeling like, okay, so my ministry, what I used to consider my ministry is not there anymore. I've done all these things wrong that people are upset at me about. I just, where do I fit? I don't have a place. I don't fit. I'm supposed to be the pastor's wife, and I don't fit. And God had to get a hold of me and help me to realize that I had misconceptions. My way of thinking was not right. And some of you know Cheryl Nurswanger. She's a good friend of mine. We had invited her up to a women's retreat, and she spoke on the subject of comparison to contentment. And I thought, you know, I mean, okay, so she's coming, and I'm thinking, well, I'm a contented person, you know. I'm just fine. Well, what I didn't realize is that she was not just talking about the things you have. She was talking about who you are as an individual. And God spoke to me, and he said to me, I've given you your own set of gifts. You need to quit trying to live up to what you think others want you to be. You need to be who I want you to be. So then came the question of, well, who am I? What, you know, what gifts have you given me? And so that's why I did there for the I inquire. I think it's good for us to stop and evaluate. Do we understand the gift that God has given us? To inquire of God, what are the gifts you have given to me? And what do you want me to do with those gifts? So then back to last year at MEW, I was sharing with some of my lady friends this, a bit of the struggle that I was in the midst of. And through that weekend, I felt like God was just saying, you know, just take one thing, one gift that I have given you, and just do something with it. But I'm like, well, what is that thing? Well, my husband, if you don't know what your gift is, just ask your husband, okay? Or a close friend, somebody that knows you well. Because I think sometimes we are ministering and we don't even realize it. It's like, he says, honey, you are a good listener. You encourage other people by the fact that you like to hear what's happening in their life. And so I kind of took that and I said, okay, so why don't I be more intentional about trying to connect with women in my congregation at other times other than at church, okay? So I like the telephone. I like that personal connection of the voice. I do texting, but I like the personal voice connection, and I love to talk on the phone. So I decided that could be an area that I could work on and trying to minister to the women in my congregation. If you like to text, it's fine. It's great. It is one of the things I have as a practical idea. So then for N, I have the verse in 1 Timothy 4:14. So when God shows you that gift, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Take that gift and allow God to use it and work through you. And so I already mentioned we're in a small congregation. We have 9 women. And I've just been amazed. I knew it before, but as I focused on it in this workshop, it's amazing to see that God knows the needs of those around us. And he has put together a group of women at our church that have a variety of gifts. And we don't all see the same needs. If we all saw the same needs, something would get missed. So God has given each of us our own set of gifts so that you can see one need that I totally overlook, and I can see a need that you're overlooking. And because of that, we can reach a wider group of people. So God knows what he's doing. We just need to be willing to be a vessel. And there's another thing that kind of stands out to me as we think about ministry. There's seasons in our life when we're going to be so taken up with whatever's happening in our own life that we're not maybe going to be able to minister at those times. You know, I think of, I've got 9 children, and I homeschooled, and there were years when my life was children doing books and entertaining preschoolers and nursing a baby. And there were times when that was my ministry. And so I want to just say to you young women, please don't allow yourself to feel like you don't have a ministry. Sometimes your family is your ministry. So I just want to encourage you in that. And then I think there's also times like if we're physically ill or emotionally ill, if we have a struggle that we're going through into times of loss, that we are not going to have the energy, and we need to be okay with being that person that is ministered to. And we need to be okay with being the receiver rather than the giver. So I just like to encourage you in that. Okay, so as I was talking, we're down to the practical ideas here now. So how I pulled this together was I talked to a number of different ladies and just, you know, said, I'm having this workshop, and I'd be interested in hearing, you know, what are some things that you see women doing that minister to others? And it was interesting, the variety of responses. Some of them would just kind of go, I'm not creative. And you know what? Sometimes we think we have to have these way far wonderful things, and we don't. Those little things are just as significant as the big creative things. And I'm not, I don't feel like I have that inborn creativity. I don't feel like God has given me that. That's not my gift. But we have several women in our congregation that they have that gift, and they come up with some of the neatest ideas, and it's like, oh, wow, that's really neat. You know, well, I've never think of something like that. But that doesn't matter. We're all significant in our own way. Well, the next one would say, well, I'm not sure. I don't know. I said to my sister, she's like, I don't know. Well, she said, I plan fellowship meals. You know, and so some people are just like, I don't know. I don't know what I do. And I was talking to another one of my sisters. I have three sisters, and they helped me out with some of this stuff. And she said, you know, she said, I think that those women who don't really know what they're doing are the ones that are good listeners. And she said, she's a minister's wife. She says, we as minister's wives need somebody to listen to us sometimes. She said, sometimes we just need to talk, and we don't want the answers. We just need somebody to listen. And she said, I think that oftentimes you'll find that the person that doesn't know what their doesn't know what they're doing will be a good listener. And then there were some that, you know, they had practical ideas and they shared with me, and those are what we're ready for now. So for the letter I, inspire. Things that we can do through ministry to inspire. Inspire is to spur on. And I would see inspire as the word that encompasses the spiritual aspect of our ministry. Now, some of the others are going to be a little more the physical aspect, like serving as we go down through. So inspiring is spurring on others on in their walk with the Lord. And there were several ideas that I thought of in practical ministry. And some of them are, I think we can do as like a group. We can minister in as to a whole group of women. And when I say that, I'm thinking of like women's retreats, women's seminars. We in the area where we live, our churches are quite scattered. The closest conservative Mennonite church to us is about 35 miles, and then we have 70 miles, and you know, this way and that way. And so every other year we pull together a women's retreat for those churches, and we take turns. We shift it around to the different churches so that we can be in those different areas. And that has been a great inspiration to me, and I'm sure to the other women. So I see women's retreats as one area that maybe we as ministers' wives can help to organize, so that we can inspire groups of women. Ladies' teas, I think, are another very inspiring, because it's a time when you can get together, and oftentimes you'll have a speaker with an inspiring message. My one daughter-in-law shared with me that their congregation, and this sounds like huge to me because I'm not good at tea parties, but every month they have a tea party with an inspirational speaker. And so that, I thought that was impressive. But they also have a fair-sized congregation, so they have a lot of people to help make that happen. And then there's inspiration as far as more on a personal level, like mentoring. We can minister through mentoring to others. My daughter lives in Tennessee, and she says that at their church they actually have a mentoring program. Oh no, this was my daughter. I'm sorry, my daughter-in-law, the same one that does the teas every month. They have a mentoring program where the older women can mentor the youth girls in the congregation, and she said that has been a huge blessing in just like bringing helping to take care of the generational gap. And she said you really have to work at that with the young ladies sometimes, but she said that is one thing that they do. And then there's also secret sisters, prayer partners. I think those are all things of value that we can do to minister to women. in more of a personal way. Does anybody think of anything else in that category that you might find has been an inspiration to you? Okay. If you think of it later, that's fine. Just whatever. Just I'm willing to hear what you have. And so the next is S, and that is serve. This one comes a little more easily to me, a little more for myself. I'm a doing person. I wouldn't say that I necessarily have the gift of service, but it comes a little more easily than some of the other areas for me. Sometimes the needs are obvious, sometimes they're not. I was speaking to another one of my daughter-in-law's. We have 6 married children, by the way. So I use my daughters and my daughter-in-law's, and she said she's young. They're just married for a year and a half, and they have a baby. And you know, she said to me, you know, you go into a house and you see this young mother that's got just all this work, and she said, don't say to her, do you need help? Because she's probably going to turn it down. Say to her, what can I do for you? And maybe she'll pick out one of those things that would be helpful to her. So I thought, well, that's good. That's good input there. Meals. I think we as Mennonites do well at helping with meals. blessing a new or busy mother, someone who's sick in the congregation, someone recovering from surgery, taking in meals like hot and ready to serve, or pre-made and into the freezer so they can pull it out on a day when things are hectic, and they're glad for that. I was often ministered to in that way with 9 pregnancies, and I was sick with my pregnancies. So I was blessed in that way. And then when the new baby came, they would bless me again. And it really shows our young mothers that we care when we can do that. And then also after my thyroid surgery, you know, I had 2 different surgeries. I had 1 lobe removed, and 2 months later the other lobe removed because they found cancer. And then 2 months later I had radioactive iodine treatment. So there was a period of time there that, you know, surgery, recover. And so that was a time of blessing to me when the women in our congregation presented us with meals. There's also the thought of house cleaning, going in and helping with somebody who might be getting ready to move, moving to a new location, go in and help prepare the new house and possibly help clean the house that they move out of. One of my friends was struggling with health issues for a period of time, and the sisters in her congregation actually blessed her by once a week, one of them would take a turn and coming in and doing her normal weekly cleaning. So I think that was a blessing to her. And then one of our young ladies had complications at the end of her pregnancy, and one of our sisters went in and cleaned the house for her, and she ended up having the baby within the next couple of days. They delivered with C-section, and you know, just what a blessing to come home to a house that's just like sparkling clean. I mean, she did a really good job. I was there, I told her later. I said, you know, that was really neat the way you did that for her. So, hospitality is another one that I think some people have. That is definitely a gift that God has given to some people. Inviting people into your home for food, fellowship, games, helps to strengthen relationships. One of our young ladies is one of the creative young ladies in our congregation. She likes to have project days. Invite ladies in. Bring along your pictures. Bring along your scrapbooking. Just come and we'll fellowship together while we do a project together. That's a ministry. That's ministering to the need for us to have fellowship. So, and that same young lady does wonderful tea parties. And she's blessed us a number of times with like tea parties for a shower or whatever. And so then there's also work projects. Other than, I already mentioned like the house cleaning, but for example, I'm thinking of, we had a family that was worshiping with us for a while who had, it was a large family, 8 children, and they were pretty closely spaced. And she liked to serve a lot of applesauce with her meals, applesauce pretty much with every meal. And so we got together one day, and we turned out 200 quarts of applesauce. And, you know, how many hours of that did that save her herself? And then Priscilla shared with me, she's in here right now, huh? There you are. Priscilla shared with me that they had a man at their church who had suffered a stroke. And his wife was like, it was right in the middle of corn harvest. And she was like, there's no way I'm doing corn this year. I just will do without. I cannot do corn. And Priscilla and several of the ladies at their church said, well, let's do a corn day. And they got together and they did corn to put in the ladies' freezer. I think, you know, those things are just so practical. But they minister to our spirits. And they show that we care for each other. Mother's helpers. This one's from Jeanette. I'm taking you so you can't talk, but you can think up another one, okay? Jeanette was sharing with me that they have a family at their church with, I think it's 8 boys. And she blesses that mother with a batch of cookies now and then. She said, I know the boys enjoy it. I think the mother appreciates it. Or she'll sit with the children at a fellowship meal till mom and dad can go fill their plates. That's practical. And Carolyn also shared with me as an example of what they were looking for when they asked me to do this workshop. She said one of the deacon's wives that she knew of, whose children were all grown, so she had more time to give. She would go, when her husband had to go away for meetings or whatever, she would offer to a young lady in their congregation, can I just come and be with you and help you out for the day or for a day. Taking advantage of the opportunity to minister well when her husband was not there. Okay, then another area that we can minister in is in the area of teaching. Some women are good listeners. Some are blessed with the gift of exhortation. And they could teach us a lot. And I have to think of my mom when it comes to this. I think God has given her a gift of exhortation. And just the wisdom that is there. And the nuggets of truth that she can share with us. She probably doesn't think she has a ministry. But she does. We are blessed by that wisdom and her ability to share that with us. And, you know, I think I can call myself an older woman now. The older women, the women with experience, we have so much to teach the younger women. My daughter, who lives in Tennessee, was just sharing with me. She said that one of their minister's wives organized an older women teaching younger women event. And she told the younger women ahead of time, write out any questions you have. It can be anything. Marriage, questions about marriage, child training, relationships with your girlfriends, how that affects your relationship with your husband, whatever. She's just like, write down your questions. And so the older women in the congregation fixed a meal for the younger ones. And after that time, after the meal, they spent a time of like kind of a panel discussion where the older women in the congregation sat and answered those young ladies' questions. She said, it turned out to be really like a really long event. She said, I didn't get home till like 10:45. So, you know, and she was like, it was really neat. I was like, I think we're going to do it again sometime. You know, so if somebody enjoys putting together something like that, I think it would be a huge blessing to our young ladies. Sometimes maybe they're a little afraid to ask some of those questions, and if you can put it in a comfortable setting and bless them in that way. Okay, then for E, I have encourage. I have a friend who's a great encourager, and I called her one day to ask her if she had any ideas for this workshop, and she was getting all excited. She was like, wow, that's really neat. Oh, she's like, oh, that's such a good opportunity. I wish I could come along. And I'm thinking, why don't you go do it for me? Yeah. But, you know, I don't think she realized how much her enthusiasm made me realize that this really is a topic that's valuable. And it kind of helped me to realize the value of this workshop. So she was an encouragement, even though I'm not sure she realized how much of an encouragement she was. But she also, I took from what she said that she just does a wonderful job of encouraging the women in her congregation. Like, just encouraging them in the gift that God has given to them. And, you know, we might not think of that. We might not realize that that is ministering. But if we can be like a cheerleader for others and cheering them on in the gift that God has given, what an encouragement. And she just blessed me when she shared that. And she also was telling me that she has a friend who is really good with sewing and then makes like patterns for people. And she said she has blessed us by just inviting a woman into her home and just fellowshipping and conversation and while she makes them a dress pattern. So that's a practical thing that she does. I think also a way of encouragement is prayer. And I want to thank each and every one of you for praying for me and for those who have come to me and taken time to pray with me over this workshop. That has just been such a blessing. One of the minister's wives that I heard of actually has a prayer list for each member in their congregation, and she prays for every single member in their congregation. And it's not like a tiny congregation. It's bigger than ours. And I thought, that's an outstanding ministry there. And another thing that I have been working at, I think, in the avenue of prayer, for me, this takes effort. Instead of saying to somebody, okay, I'll be praying for you, say, can I pray for you right now? Whether it's on the phone or whether you're right there in person. And for some reason that I have to work at that, but I think it's a very practical way that we can reach into somebody's life right now. But if you're like me, you'll say, I'll pray for you. And then I go home and I forget about it. And later I think, oh, man, I was supposed to be praying for that, you know. So anyway, also the words, whether it's spoken words or written words. We have one lady in our congregation who is wonderful with cards. And I don't feel like I'm very good at expressing myself verbally to somebody. But she does, like, you know, so I buy a card and I just sign it and give it to them because, you know, the words that are there say it. She doesn't let it stop at that. She will add her own words of encouragement. And I think that's very valuable if that's a gift that you enjoy. She goes beyond the birthdays and the anniversaries. Last summer we were at Family Week here in the middle of the week, here comes the card for Karen Miller. And she was encouraging me and blessing me in my opportunity to enjoy a week at Family Week. You know, and I was just like, wow, that's cool, you know? So, and then another thing with our technology that we have today, WhatsApping or texting. My sister said if somebody's missing a church on Sunday, Monday comes around, she'll send them a WhatsApp. She says she can WhatsApp all the ladies in their congregation. She'll send them a WhatsApp and say, I missed you yesterday. How's it going? Such a little thing. But you know what? I bet those women have a connection with her that we might be missing. And I think that's something very simple. It only takes a couple minutes. Something that we could do. Then there's those who like to give gifts. I don't know if that's their love language, but they're really good at just giving special little gifts, whether it's on a birthday or just because they're thinking of you and they want you to know that they're thinking of you. One of my sisters shared with me that she had a glad blooming, and this you wouldn't necessarily think is a gift, but I think we could. She's had a glad blooming in her garden, and she was on her way to an event, and she clipped off the glad and thought, I'm going to take this with me and see who the Lord tells me to give it to. And she took it with her, and she said she sat down next to a lady that they had such a neat connection in their amount of time that they had for conversation, and she was able to pull that flower out and say, I'd like to bless you with this. You know, sometimes we miss those little things, but those are so special, and it just gave her a special connection there. Another thing is encouraging is stopping in for a visit. I think this kind of depends on the dynamics of your congregation and, like, how far apart you're scattered or whatever. But, you know, as you're driving by somebody's house, can you take a few minutes to stop in and just say hello or how's it going or whatever? Or plan for visits also. But my one daughter-in-law, she's got two little ones, and she just said, you know, it's really special when somebody just hops in and checks to see how I'm doing. And then another way that has been an encouragement to me was when I was traveling back and forth to the hospital with my thyroid appointments. My husband had only so many days that he could take off of work. And various ones of the women in the congregation blessed me by riding with me that nearly 2 hours to the hospital and back. And that was just a neat way of reaching out to me at my time of need. And then I think also in the line of encouragement is, and I get a whole lot of ideas on this, and maybe you can help me out with this one. The whole idea of comforting in a time of loss. You know, what are some of the things that we can do to comfort? Now, I know when years back, I did have one miscarriage, and my friends ministered to me with cards of encouragement. One friend sent me a bouquet of flowers. And one of my friends was just ready to be available to listen when I needed somebody to talk to, when I needed somebody to, you know, that I could talk and I could cry and I could just share. And, you know, it helped me to work through some of the things that I was feeling because they made themselves available to hear what I was experiencing. Now, one of my daughter-in-law's, their congregation has had a number of losses and hard losses. Like, I mean, all losses are hard as far as in a death, but like somebody that wasn't real old dying of cancer, you know, some of those kinds of things. And she said, what they do as a congregation, and this kind of surprised me, because I would think, well, maybe they need some space. But she said, we as a congregation will go, and within the hour that we hear that that person has died, we will go and we will be there, at maybe just briefly or whatever, but just go and let the people who have had the loss know that we're thinking of them and we're supporting them. I thought that was such a blessing to hear that, because I would probably tend to be one of those that would think, oh, they probably need their space. They probably don't want me just coming in here and, you know. But she said that with the losses that they've had, that is one thing that has been a real blessing to them.